Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 9 through 14, and verses 22 and 23. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So far as from the text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who is both our bridegroom and our Lamb, with whom we will live forever in our heavenly home, to fellow redeemed. Last Sunday we were introduced to the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And of course, it was a symbolical picture of the Holy Christian Church, of all believers in Christ, in heaven. Well, this morning's text goes in a little more detail. Detail so that we can see what we will be like and what it will be like in heaven. Remember, John was writing to struggling believers. Believers of his day who were going through trials, tribulations, and persecution because of their faith. And because of their sinful flesh, they were plagued with doubt and worry and fears. The glorified and risen Christ speaks to them in these words of Revelation, encouraging them to remain faithful to the Word, to continue to hear the Word, and to keep their eyes focused on the One who gives them life. And John, and those believers, as well as us today, have the assurance that our risen Savior will give us our heavenly home. Once again, we have a symbolical portrait of the Holy Christian Church painted for us by the Holy Spirit, in which he pictures that blessed relationship, that intimate union and communion and fellowship that Christ has with us, his believers, in heaven. What a glorious picture it is. Our text begins with one of the seven angels speaking to John and says to John, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Well, Scripture makes it very clear that the bride of the Lamb, Jesus, is the church, all believers in Christ. So once again, we see in our text the bride, the church of God, coming down, ascending from heaven as this city, this new Jerusalem, coming down out of the sky. But the question is, how do we get into that city? How do we become part of that new Jerusalem, that heavenly home of ours? And our first point is very simple. We enter through its gates. We read verses 12 and 13 again of our text. "Also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west." In the Old Testament times, a great and high wall around a city served as a secure protection for the inhabitants inside the city. And the only way then into the city was through the gates. Well, this is a symbolic picture that our heavenly home has impenetrable walls so that we are perpetually, eternally protected from any harm that might come to body or soul. Number 12 is a symbolic picture for the church. There's the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons of Jacob, and the 12 apostles. When I saw, in our lesson this morning, we see that there were 12 gates in the seventh Jerusalem, 12 angels at the gates, and the 12 tribes of Israel had their names written on those 12 gates. Again, a symbolical picture that all the believers, all those who believe in the Messiah, the Christ, will be in this heavenly home. Jesus very clearly says that. The only way into heaven is through Him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And again He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved. The only way into this new Jerusalem is entering through the gate, the door, Jesus Christ. There are 12 angels guarding those gates. That may be a symbolic picture that the angels take us to heaven when we die, our souls, and they'll let only believers in. No one else can enter into that heavenly home. It's interesting that there were three gates, the north, south, east, and west of this heavenly Jerusalem. That's a picture of how the children of Israel encamped around the tabernacle in the wilderness. The tabernacle would be set up, and then three tribes would camp to the west, three tribes would camp to the east, three tribes would camp to the north, and three tribes would camp to the south, so the tabernacle was right in the middle of all the tribes in the wilderness. Again, a picture of all the believers will be coming into this heavenly Jerusalem. But I think it's also another picture of the believers in heaven will come from the north, south, east, and west, all around the world. Not just Jews, but people from all tribes and countries and nations and peoples. And so our first point again is, this heavenly Jerusalem, how do we get in? Only one way. Through the gate. The door, Jesus. Our second point, we build on its foundation. Even as the 12 names of the tribes of Israel were written on the gates, we're told that in this heavenly Jerusalem, the 12 names of the apostles were written on the foundation of this spiritual city. So what's the foundation of the church? Jesus tells us very clearly, Paul tells us very clearly in Ephesians 2. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This inspired word of God, through which the apostles taught the saving truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, is the foundation of the church. And such a secure, strong foundation is built upon Christ that we're told that not even all the powers of hell can overcome it. The gospel that proclaims the Lamb of God was slain to forgive us all of our sins, and that same Lamb of God was raised again to assure us of a resurrection to everlasting life, is the very foundation upon which we base our faith life. Without it, we're lost. That's the foundation of the spiritual heavenly Jerusalem, our heavenly home. It's important to note that the church is not built upon the persons of the apostles, but upon their writings, what they wrote and spoke. And that is made very clear when we read Jesus' conversation with Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, well, some say you're Elijah, others say you're the prophet Jeremiah, others you're resurrected John the Baptist. And he says, well, who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus did not build his church upon the person Peter. He built his church upon the testimony that Peter gave, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. His church is built upon the Word, the foundation of the apostles and prophets' words. That's why Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. So we enter this heavenly Jerusalem to the gate, Jesus, and we build on its foundation, which is the Word. And thirdly, we see in our text, we worship in its amazing beauty. In our text, we're told the New Jerusalem has the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. We see this term, the glory of God, in the Old Testament quite often. When the children of Israel built the tabernacle in the wilderness, and we're done, the glory of God entered into it, and it was filled with its glory, brightness. When Moses spoke to the Lord in the temple, face to face, the glory of God shone upon him, so when he walked out, his face shone as bright as the sun. When the Ark of the Covenant was placed in that new temple that Solomon built, that fantastic, amazing temple, we're told the glory of the Lord filled that temple with its brightness. And when Jesus was born in the fields in Bethlehem, the angels were there. We're so told the glory of God shone round about them in the brightness of the night sky. That glory of God was the promise of God's being with his people, fellowshipping with them in a spiritual way. Well, in heaven, we'll see the glory of God face to face. It'll be Jesus who is the light. He is the light source. He is the luminary. There'll be no need for the sun or stars to shine in the new heaven, the new earth, this heavenly Jerusalem. You see, God's greatest glory is not his power or his might. It's his grace in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus is the light in heaven. In fact, Jesus told us that when he was here on this earth. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. This light of Jesus is the source of life. Just like the sunlight is a source of life for our plants, vegetable and flower plants, so also Jesus, our light, shines on us through his word and gives us life, spiritual life, to believe in him. No doubt John was amazed. But when he looked into the city, he was troubled. And he was puzzled at what he saw. Or actually, of what he didn't see. What was the most important thing in the earth of Jerusalem? The most important building was the temple. That's where God's presence was in his word. That's where the people went to offer sacrifices and do the ceremonies. That's where the gospel was through those ceremonies and those sacrifices, pointing to the Messiah. Well, in this heavenly Jerusalem, there's no temple. Why wasn't there a temple? Our text says, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. No churches or synagogue is needed in heaven, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb will always be there. Their presence will be an everlasting presence. The grace that we receive every time we read the scriptures here in church or at home with the Word of God, that'll be with us all the time. We'll be in the visible presence of our Savior. I was going to say 24/7, but there's no time. And continuously. It'll be always. Moment after moment after moment. Whatever those moments are like in heaven. In the presence of our Savior. There'll be no need anymore for church building where we come to confess our sins. Or acknowledge to our God our sins in thought and word and deed. No more will we be plagued by sinful doubts or worries or fears. We'll be in the visible presence of our Heavenly Father and of our Savior throughout all eternity, in that intimate union and communion with Him. One last thing, we skipped a few verses here, verses 15 to 21. And in those verses, the Holy Spirit to John told him the length, the breadth, and the height of this holy New Jerusalem. And it's a perfect cube. Another symbolism. What was a perfect cube in the temple? The Holy of Holies. 10 squared. That's God's presence. That's where God was, with the Ark of the Covenant. And the high priest would go in there only once a year and spread the blood of the Lamb upon the Ark of the Covenant for the forgiveness of sins. But that Holy of Holies had the curtain temple torn in two when Jesus died. And so this heavenly home is like that Holy of Holies, only we can enter into it and be with our God in His presence throughout eternity. Symbolism, symbolism, symbolism throughout this whole chapter. And in those verses, especially 18 to 21, the pictures of the walls of that heavenly Jerusalem are beyond fantastic. I'll give you an example here. The construction of its wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. There were 12 foundations. The first foundation was jasper, multicolored. The second, sapphire, dark blue. The third, chalcedony, sky blue. The fourth, emerald, green. The fifth, sardonyx, bright red. The sixth, sardius, purple. The seventh, chrysolite, golden color. The eighth, beryl, pale green. The ninth, topaz, a gold colored. The tenth, chrysoprase, a golden green. The 11th, jacinth, a golden yellow. And the 12th, amethyst, violet or purple. Picture all those gems and all those colors around the gates and the walls of this holy New Jerusalem. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Last Sunday, we sang the hymn, Jerusalem the Golden, with milk and honey blessed. And one of the verses says, I know not, oh, I know not, what joys await us there, what radiancy of glory, what bliss beyond compare. And even though we have this picture, this physical symbolic picture of our heavenly home, we can't even fathom its glory, its joy, its beauty, and its bliss. But how comforting to know that our risen Savior will give us an eternal heaven like this. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.